Blog Talk Radio.
Who catches your eye? What turns you on? What tickles your fancy? We talk about it all, from the girl next door or the boy down the block. We're all talk. Put the pedal to the pedal. Sweet perfume and leather jackets with your host, Jill Reed.
Well, good morning. I want to thank you for being with me today for the final episode of my Sweet Perfume and Leather Jackets show on Blog Talk Radio. I know that some of you may be here out of curiosity because I put a post on my Facebook page last night. And others of you are here because you've been my loyal listeners. And I thank each of you for being here. It's my hope you're listening because you're still searching for something more in life. So you decided to tune in to Pleasing Name. I put much thought into my name of the radio show. And more about that show in late November of 2012, prior to my opening day in early 2013. I treated this show like it's a business as far as being here Monday through Friday, being here for the people like I would in my coffee business. But I did that in ways, but yet, in all honesty, it wasn't a business to me. Instead, it was a place to do what author Mark Hamilton calls play it life. To play it life. It was more of a hobby. And it was a release for my searching soul, the child in me, on a quest to find a way to deal with the adult world full of force from many sources upon me. It wasn't the world that I thought I would grow up into that was going to be a big adventure of great wealth and so much more. It was going to be a place where no adults would tell me what to do. And you might have looked forward to growing up wealthy and healthy, too. What I discovered was it was so much different than that. There were still the people that were telling others what to do. And most people's jobs were boring. They didn't allow for play, not the kind of big adventure I thought I was going to grow up into where I would be able to put my 2 cents in. Instead, I found that for most people, including family members of mine, their life wasn't full of adventure at all. So, as I planned this radio show, Sweet Perfume and Leather Jackets, I thought hard about how I wanted it to come across. How would it be accepted? And I learned about marketing from a genius. I had studied marketing, and I was beginning to see what he was doing with his form of writing that had appealed to me and millions worldwide. So, in Virginia, in the month of November of 2012, in the early parts of December, I thought very hard, long, hard thinking about what to call my radio show, because I'd already discovered that I needed a new outlet, a place of release, to share what I was feeling in this world where I felt trapped. And there were adults in my world who were focused on holding me back. Some I knew and some I didn't. But they couldn't understand me. And I realized that. So I wanted to bring my voice to radio because I sat doing an exercise out of a book called The Visions. And I sat doing that exercise. Actually, there was just a series of three. And when I completed those exercises, I was amazed at what I discovered. I thought about things that I had liked to do over my life and how it fascinated me and how I felt inside. I actually did that, what I would call soul searching. And the name came to me because I was focused on how to address ladies and men. I didn't like the word woman because I think that a lot of men feel that we women, when we're individually, that we hold them back. And so I tend to love the word ladies and being called a lady no matter what. And I like to look at men and consider them gentlemen. If they're in a group and expect that they be a gentleman when they're in my life. So I started to think about what would I call them to give them a metaphor of the man and the lady, the individual. And I came up with sweet perfume and leather jackets. That's right. Sweet perfume. The scent of a lady. The enticing scent of a lady. And leather. The strength of a man. I had studied for many years, actually. But I was currently studying relationships for the past several years. And I had discovered, actually I hadn't discovered, I became aware more than ever that there was only one separation of our species. And that gave me a solid base to work from. By operating from that junction where two people came together, crossed paths, so to speak, who chose to exchange a moment entwined as male and female with the desire or risk of co-creating a child who would also have an individual life of choice within projects, within the world in which he or she was born into. So what a base of power that gives to each child. From the honest equation that there were two lives, two searching souls, whose paths crossed and they became entwined and were either filled with the desire to co-create or were taking the risk of creating a child, that we have children. From that honest equation of life, of our human existence, I can always accept a listener on my radio show when they took the microphone. And what I discovered was people were willing to listen more than they were willing to talk. They were curious about life. And yet, I didn't do my best because I was just playing at getting better at doing something that I'd wanted to do for years. I wanted to be able to speak from a base of power, my own strength, based on something I knew well enough to talk about. Whenever someone took the microphone, that person, my listener, was a male or female. And each one of them had been born into a lady capable of becoming pregnant and a male capable of impregnating the female. And from that stand, and based upon years of curiosity into the human psyche, I was able to listen to and accept whoever came my way. I'll never forget my earliest listeners, particularly Richard Hios. That man had the most amazing mathematical mind, most amazing that I'd ever been around, that shared it with me. There may have been some others, but the way he shared his mathematical mind with me, and even on this radio show, was quite fascinating. And at times it was very perplexing to me. But I listened, and I grew to appreciate him as a friend on my radio show. And I met him several times in person as well. And unfortunately, Richard's not with us anymore. And I had another listener in my early days. His name was the very same as his cousin. So I had to speak to yet, get this, another Richard. I didn't have to speak to them. I enjoyed speaking, I should say. So I had, in the beginning, three Richards that were on my show. Very distinct individuals. Very much leather jackets, the protectors of society. And two of the Richards were very sick. They were really faced with life and death diseases. Yet their humor, their ability, by the way, humor is something we can do. It is the sign of really a highly intelligent person who can think in the moment and come up with something that makes us laugh, gives us a picture in our head. And they're wonderful to be around. We can learn to appreciate humor that is based upon the moment versus a well-thought-out routine. But both are good. So here I was with these incredible listeners in the beginning. And there were others, too. I can name them, but I think it was interesting to have the three Richards in my life. And what I found of them was they were much like me. They were curious. They were very curious about life. And I know that their family members appreciated that about them and their desire to make their life better and the lives of others around them better, too. Maybe for some, they'll be like most people, that it's later on after they're gone that people recognize the real value of life, and that's a tragedy in itself. But all I wanted to do was grow up and put values into society, be good, do something that I love to do, and make money doing it. So from an early child, I knew that babysitting wasn't for me. I was the baby of the family. I knew nothing about babies. Why would I want to baby something that couldn't talk to me? Why would I want to be around that little baby when I didn't know anything about them? I hadn't had to change a diaper. I didn't know anything about babies. We were a small family. And so I was always fascinated by life. mainly because I knew the preciousness of life from the time I was an infant with asthma. And I knew that I literally would save my life by breathing properly with the help of some drugs. But mostly that I had to get strong enough to breathe on my own to get the hell out of an oxygen tent, that little stainless steel container with plastic around me, unable to touch the people around me. So it was just not a good place to be, and I got the hell out of that hospital before Christmas so that I could go home to be with my older sister. I appreciate life. And I was fascinated by it. There were so many greats that I was learning about as a little girl. I loved to read because, well, I just loved to read. So, knowing that there's male and female within species and many others, hello, yes, you know that. I don't need to talk about that part of life. But knowing that we're different but alike, knowing that the male-female came together and created a new life at that junction, that choice, that desire or risk of creating together a child, I can accept whatever child comes into my life. But I was always more fascinated with adults and studying them than I was the children. So, you know, my curiosity began through a series of books that my mom bought for me. She actually bought them for her children, the three of us, myself, or perhaps I should say for my sister, my brother, and myself. But it's okay to put me first, because if I wouldn't have put me first and the love for my sister to get out of that hospital, I wouldn't be here to be speaking to you. I could have succumbed to death, and I knew it, because I knew what it felt like to be on the edge of consciousness, that edge where there's nothing there to hold you. You see, we're capable of having deep feelings of love. We're capable of so much more than the other animals. It's deeper than that. You know, I can still see the cover of three books that we were blessed to receive. There was the body. There was a mind book, the mind book. And I remember health and disease. I can see a mosquito. I can see a body. And it's this green and black like cover. I can see the mind cover. I can still see them. On the closet shelf they were on, in my brother's room, because they were too tall for the built-in bookshelves in his bed frame. Now these books by Life magazine at the time, mid-60s. Yeah. These books, well, they explored natural sciences. And perhaps they were the way for my mom to expose us to our nature without having to have the talk about the birds and the bees that some families attempted to share with their children, to prevent the premature birth of a child. I said it that way for a reason. The premature birth of a child. Let's face it, children need a safe place to grow up, not a fast-paced world to give into. Most children are not protected long enough to grow their minds into what it should be, what it is by nature. What is the mind by nature? It's an everlasting organ capable of integrating with reality. You have one. So do I. Integrating with reality, the what is around you, what exists here and now, what exists out there, pulling them in through what I've called for years the double barrel brain that fires away with the creative right and logical left chambers, creating new neuromuscular pathways, neurons. We're amazing. We're the molecules in motion. With the double barrel brain, and every child needs to have a long enough period of time. I realize that now more than ever. Yes, I grew up into this world of the fast pace, pushed the children on the fast track through memorizing random facts out of context, and expect that they know what they want to be by 18, where they're going to go, what they're going to do, but they really could know sooner than that if they were groomed properly, but they're not. So I realized that the adults in my world didn't have an appreciation for life like I do, because my lifelong quest had been to preserve my life, to protect myself, because I didn't breathe like the other children, so I had to be cautious with what I did. So given that I was a child with asthma, and I also had a lisp until I took speech classes, I became a reader in my spare time. It was a hobby for me. It was simply a hobby. And I was also fascinated by my dad's customers at his gas station. The men acted different than the ladies, yet they would all speak to me. They would address me. Good morning, young lady. Hi, young lady. Good morning. Good afternoon. They addressed me as an individual. Most of them talked to me because I realized people like to address children, because the child that's in us still wants to have an opportunity at life, and we really would like to give it to another child. So the men acted different than the ladies, and the ladies acted different than the men. Yeah, we could all speak. We had the ability to address each other and talk. We had the ability to dress ourselves or undress another. I understood that at an early point in life. I watched people and their behaviors. I had a very handsome dad and a very beautiful mother. It doesn't matter what our parents look like, really. It doesn't. By nature, this curious mind of ours, this ability to grow without limits through our mind, we have this great power to control our lives and even control the world around us. So I wanted to share all that with you today and give you the background of why I did this radio show. I wanted to inject humor into it. And I wanted to be able to be very serious at times. I wanted to help you see pictures in your head because you're capable of it. I wanted you to see how great you really are, in spite of the world of force from all kinds of sources upon you. I wanted you to feel like this was coming home to grandma's, and I wasn't yet a grandma. And since I started it, I've become a grandma, which gives me a whole new look at life. I have a deeper appreciation for the shortness of life, because I still feel like I'm that little girl deep inside. And in many ways, I still function like that little girl named Jelly Bean. But in other ways, the cellular degeneration of me continues on through my existence. The breakdown of my body happens. And if I'd only known the things I know now when I was younger, rather than trying to fight for every breath, I might have been more physically active. We have so many ways to protect life and preserve life, and it should be our only quest in life. If we lived in nature, it would be our main focus is to just survive in nature. But as a species, we left nature years ago. What will you do with the nature you have to make your life better? That should be the lifelong quest of every child. It shouldn't be, who will you follow and their belief to get to the end of your life and wonder, what was this really all about? When you could have this amazing journey by using your own mind to think more deeply, to do greater things with your life, like Steve Jobs. Let me just explain that there's two ways in the path of life. There's one that you are the self-leader, and you do what you feel good doing, and by doing that, chances are other people will be impacted and feel good by what you did. And you question whatever authority comes to you, whatever form it is, whether it's a book that brings it to you or a person. You question it in your mind. You mull it around. You think about it for a while. And you decide if it's for you or not. That's what you can do. That's the what is, because you were born human. Or you can simply follow that authority, the book, the person, and get what they bring you, which could be a very boring life. So I was always a reader. I loved to read. I studied the people around me. I didn't do some of the things the other kids did because I would think about it first and go, is that right for me? Is that going to be good for me? So I didn't do it. I didn't feel I needed to escape life because I had hobbies. I liked to dance and sing on the stage. I sang with the group because I had a lisp. And on the words I couldn't say right, I kind of mumbled. I had to because I didn't want to mess up the way our dance routine sounded besides our tap shoes. But I did it because of me, not for any other reason. I speak a lot when I was young, before I had my first speech class in first grade. Don't excuse me. You know, excuse me. That, like you, some of the details in your life become foggy because some of them mattered and some of them didn't. But the things that matter in life are that you become the person you were meant to be, and that's based upon this amazing mind that I just told you about, one that's able to integrate with reality, just like Steve Jobs was doing to the very end as he was losing his life. He had a mind that was a creative mind, which meant it was always putting together puzzle pieces for his next thing, his next adventure. And he had to come to grips with the fact that he was dying. Now, for that kind of mind, it's a hard thing to realize you're finished, but I'm not finished. I'm going on. And I thank author Mark Hamilton for sending me a letter at one of the toughest periods of time that I was going through. One of my very toughest times. I had made choices and I had had things forced upon me. I had had deaths around me. I had had new life around me. I'm experiencing life just like you, but I received a letter. A white envelope. Now, how many times do we ignore things in our lives and later wish we wouldn't have? Well, I'm so grateful I didn't ignore that letter at that moment. And I love to read, so I ordered a book. And I got another, and I got another, and there was so much there about the human psyche for me to learn that it became an amazing journey into saving my own life and a quest to save all of humanity. So this is why I did my radio show. This is why I've cared enough to be here playing while I quietly did some other things to pull pieces together to create a success in 2017, 4 years later. I don't know where the time went. I want to thank each of you for being with me during this time period as I grew beyond authority. I want to thank Mark Hamilton for creating a little book called The Core Secret of the Prime Cure that has a copyright date of June of 2012. I didn't get it at that time. I was busy running for president of the United States. I didn't get that book till later. And now I've read it again recently with a deeper understanding and appreciation for life. And I want this book in the hands of as many people as I can possibly put it in. And that's going to be my quest, not to be here on this radio show, but to deliver it in other ways, to meet more people like I did in 2011 and 2012, to expose them to the concept of life, to natural science, of which we're all united by, instead of the divisions beyond male and female. Individual lives matter, and it is at the moment of consciousness that matters most. And that moment happens when the child can breathe on its own, be free of an authority creating the path. That's when life really can matter. And no, I don't want any child to not make it to that point. But I also don't want children born to children. I want the children to have the freedom to be children for longer and not have their parents stuck in a rut of boring jobs. I'm going to help the parents release their past and feel the joy of the child rising within. I want us to stand on the edge of consciousness and create as much as we can together to make the world a better place, because there is only one separation, and it's male and female. That is the only separation. And when we can grasp that and we quit separating by any other division, we will have the perfect wealth, health, and safety for every man, lady, and child forever. And our minds that are capable of growing forever, learning, integrating knowledge, new pockets of knowledge being created to bring us more things, and going into everlasting life here and now, is what matters to me. For my friends who still believe that there's a greater afterlife, I love you. I love you, and I hope that you've listened. And you can understand why I have this quest, why I did what I did, running for president of the United States. And it was to stop the divisions created by man upon man. And when I say that, I mean just that, as a whole man. I don't do it to be sexist. I had a career known as a land man, and I didn't get hung up on the title, because we knew what a land man was in the minerals business. A business that is full of honesty, contrary to what people think. A business where you put a bit in the ground, you scoop some dirt in nature to unveil whether something is there that will be a benefit to the masses. You either get it or you don't. There's no pretending. When you are the one that is hanging with the geologist who said, this is where you guys got to drill, and you're the one that went out and got the lease for the company and worked with the owners of the minerals and the surface and even neighboring ranchers that you had to cross to get there, you feel the feelings of being a creator. And yet, if there's not something on those logs when it's drilled, or if there's not something in the bucket when it's scooped. You have nothing. There's no making things up. There's no pretending. The same was true with my dad's automotive business. We either made a car work or we didn't. We couldn't pretend to put it back together and make it run without getting certain parts and pieces. They're about the same, aren't they? We lifted hearts up and we broke hearts when we had to tell them what it might cost to fix their cars. We had people use us and get us to do it and pay us right away. And we had people use us and abuse us, stroking us out or maybe never paying. I saw dishonesty rise, but I could see where dishonesty could fail. It can't be there. When people don't have a reason to be dishonest anymore because they're living their nature, being happy, playing at life. It's my goal, it's my quest to help more people in 2017 make the discovery of themselves, that child of the past, as Mark Hamilton calls him or her, to begin to rise above and to stop following, which is not within our nature. We can all be happy and prosper, and I will be doing some other things, and I will let you know where I'll be. I need you to follow me in Facebook. I'm Jill.Reed1, Jill.Reed, number one, is me. You will see me there, and I will keep you informed of all the wonderful unfoldings to help people see the power that they were born with, this wonderful inherent mind born within you, this consciousness, because your ancestors like mine left nature thousands of years ago and no longer needed someone to act as their God, protecting them from the storms of life. We don't need what I call the fooling class to fool us anymore. It's time for each of us to join together as sweet perfume and leather jackets to stop the end of ruling over us. It's really time for us to move beyond a stagnant rut, boring joy, this life here on earth, where we have the ability to be the controlling component of the universe. You see, in those books, so many years ago, in the mid-60s, I learned about my nature from a very religious woman. Did I just call her a woman? I did. Because at times she was controlling, and at times I've been that. There are times when some of you men have been men instead of being the gentleman. And it's time to let that all go and let our children grow up into the safety of expanding their consciousness. Standing on the edge of consciousness every moment of their days, making choices that will be good for them, not being stuck in a world of drug abusers, drug users, lousy food, diseases, crime and terrorism, not even necessary, except for those who control us, need it to control us. We're living in a very tragic world that doesn't even need to exist. It's all an illusion. What if I could tell you that they could save your life tomorrow? You might not want it because of the world in which you live in today. But what if instead I showed you how you could become happier and do something you'd love to do and live a great life in this world? I believe your child would want to come out to play with me. So those of you that have listened, I appreciate you. Whether this was your first time of listening or not, I appreciate you. I have just a few more minutes left because I went ahead and set it for 45 minutes today because this is my farewell in this space that I held for me, that I provided for me. But you will be more than welcome wherever I go. I do hope that you share this with others. There's nothing more precious than a conscious life. There's nothing more precious than protecting our own lives and preserving our lives. If that's not the quest for every human being, then there's really something wrong. But I know that it is the quest. And that something more that you've been searching for is a happy, prosperous, healthy, safe life. And we can have it very quickly when we unite by the one divide, male and female, and we quit letting politics and religion separate us. We can love someone without making love. We can stop war. We can stop following. Why in the world would I want my sons, who I chose not to abort, to go into the biggest line of fire, the Selective Service, over them? Absolutely not. Ladies, it's time that we let the world know that our place is here to take the world in. We do it by nature. Men, that your role is to protect, but it is not to take lives. It's time to protect the children. And so I say farewell to you. A special thanks to Sabrina, who served as one who would step up as a self-leader and take over Free for All Friday. She did it for a period of time, and I appreciated that. She could help you see in metaphors and did analogies. Your life is like the sun, able to shine forever. Accept that. That's to each of you. To Richards that are gone, and to Richard who is still here, my three Richards. I have three Mikes in my life now on a local level who I get to play with in my NeoThink clubhouse, and I'm grateful to them. To Curtis for listening in, and to his wife, thank you, both of you. I so much wanted to work with the two of you to help you each find the real value in your life and cling to it. And I realized that the format here didn't work for me the way I want to work in the future. So thank you for that. To each of you, those were my earliest, and so I'm thanking them because they stuck with me and gave me strength. There were a few others, and there are those of you that have been in for the last several years. I love you, each of you. I'm not intentionally leaving out anyone, because you all have a place in the future in my life, and you know it. So thank you, thank you, thank you. If you want to say goodbye, you get an opportunity. We have a few minutes. But this is just one curtain closing, and another one's about to open. So if you want to say something, you know to press a 1. Everyday people, those of us in a non-ruling class, the large will make the world a better place and free the ruling class from being fools. We'll do it together. Thank you, Sly, for your song that I've used. All right, well, I didn't see any hands go up. I love you guys, and have an awesome day. I was going for 2,000, but I would have paid for my platform for an entire month starting on the 17th. I didn't see the point in that. My logic said no, even though my creative side wanted to play one more day with you. I'll see you on the flip side in Facebook. Have an awesome day, everyone. Thank you for being with me, and let's make the world the one we wanted to grow up into. Let's do it for the children. Thank you. Bye-bye.